Told him today that he set the bar high.
Yes, he did.
Amen. And if we're going to be what we need to have that same kind of determination to make heaven our home. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. That's the only way you're going to make it. If you don't have a made-up mind and be stubborn about serving the Lord and being faithful to God, you won't make it. There's too much out there, too much about what I'm getting ready to preach on out there that really tears us up. Amen. James chapter 1. Now, you pray for me. We had a funeral this afternoon, so I'm going to try to slow down a little bit and teach a little bit tonight maybe. This is a subject that every last one of us deal with, bar none. I don't care who you are. When Carlisle Hannah was alive, probably the greatest evangelist I've ever known, greatest missionary I've ever known, he dealt with it. Preacher Buddy C. deals with it. Billy Graham dealt with it. I'm telling you right now, I don't care who you are. You deal with it. The Christian and temptation. James chapter 1, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Very familiar scripture. We all know, we've all heard the scripture read many times probably. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for what you do. I thank you for all you do, God. And Lord, we know according to your word, God, that you don't tempt us with evil. God, we know that, Lord, without a doubt. Lord, you might try us and test us every once in a while, but it won't be with evil. And God, I pray right now, Lord, as we move through this service right now, God, help me. Move me out of the way, Lord, and speak to hearts, God. Help us, Lord, to apply the scripture to our life, to our minds, to our hearts, God, so that we might not sin against you. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, verse 16 and 17 says this, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above that cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to start off tonight by saying, I'm going to go back and read this one more time. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. But now listen to this verse. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. I can't blame it on somebody else. I can't blame it on my neighbor. I can't blame it on my wife. I can't blame it on my husband. I can't blame it on the demons. When we sin, it's our fault. Amen? Don't you just think, the toughest challenge we face as Christians is trying to overcome temptations. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've said this before. Being a Christian is not hard. You just do what the Bible says and everything falls right into place. But I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough, amen. It's frustrating to know that your sins are forgiven and you keep falling and making mistakes and you have to go back to ask God for forgiveness again. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it gets a little trying on you, and if you ain't careful, you'll want to give up on it. James gives us a couple of things that I want to look at tonight. Number one, the caution. Verse 13, verse 16 through 18. Let no man say when he is tempted, he's tempted by God. Our responsibility is not to blame God for what we're going through. You can't blame God for what you're going. You can't blame God because you got a problem with pornography. You can't blame God because you got a problem with lust. You can't blame God because you the one that you got a problem with these kind of things. God, can God deliver us? Yes, he can. But you got to want to be delivered. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that God is holy and God will not tempt us with evil, and he does not tempt us. But the Bible does say he'll give us a way of escape when we have that temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says this: there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, every time you and I are tempted, there's always a way of escape. Amen. I'll never forget, I worked with a guy one time. He was probably about Kevin's size, or might have been a good bit bigger than Kevin. Big old joker. State trooper. He commanded respect, David, when he put that uniform on. He told me, and I've told this story before, he told me one time that, you know, used to we would have to take our tickets and go to the magistrate and turn a copy of our tickets into the magistrate. He said one day it was raining, and he went to the magistrate to turn his tickets in, and the magistrate was gone. There was nobody there except the secretary. He said he went in that office, and she started coming on to him. He was a happily married man. He said, I grabbed my ticket book and ran out the door. That wasn't very manly. That was the right thing to do. God said with every temptation, he will give us a way of escape. Your way of escape might be prayer. Your way of escape might be quoting scripture. Your way of escape might be tucking tail and running, amen? Whatever you got to do, you do to get away from the temptation. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. We are the fruits of his creation, amen? God wants the best for us. When God says he wants the best for us, I'm gonna just say this, and I don't know why the Lord's put this on my mind, but have you ever noticed that most of the time when a man commits adultery or a man slips out on his wife, the one he's dealing with ain't nowhere near as pretty as his wife? God wants the best for us. My best is back yonder teaching a Sunday school class, amen? Your best is sitting right beside you. God wants the best for us. So we know we can't blame God. Now, the caution, let's look at the understanding of what's going on. What really this does is come down to a common denominator, sin. Let's look at how sin has developed in our life. Number one, temptation, verse 14. This involves two things. It involves lust. That's a strong desire to do something. And it involves enticement, an opportunity, and an encouragement to satisfy that desire. So if you put it in a mathematical term, you got desire plus opportunity equals temptation. An example would be if a small boy is tempted to eat a cookie that he was told not to eat, amen, that's his desire. And what happens is when somebody leaves him alone in there, he sees the cookie jar, that's the opportunity. So when you got desire and you got opportunity, you got temptation. Amen? So we got to understand something. Temptation of itself is not a sin. It is not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin to give in to the temptation. And we all do sometimes if we ain't careful. I want you to know something. A survey of a disciple journal ranked some areas of the greatest spiritual challenges of Christians. Number one would be materialism. You ain't got to just lust after women or men. Materialism. Number two is pride. Self-centeredness, laziness. A tie for number five and six was anger and bitterness, and then sexual lust. Number seven was envy. Number eight was gluttony. Number nine was lying. The survey respondents noted temptations were more prominent when they had neglected their time with God, 81% said that, and when they were physically tired, 57% said that. Resisting temptation was accomplished by prayer, 84% said that. Avoiding compromising situations, 76%. Bible Bible study was 66%, and being accountable to somebody else was 52%, and trying not to be tempted. In other words, if you're having a problem, you need to be accountable to somebody. You need to have a friend that you can talk to and say, listen, you question me, and I'll question you once a week. Have you been studying God's Word? Have you been looking at things you ain't got no business looking at? Have you been talking to somebody you ain't got no business talking to? When they built this church, I said, I want two things in my office. I said, I want a half bath. I want like a bathroom in my office. And I said, I want a window on my door. Because if I'm going to sit down and counsel with somebody, I'm going to have the shade open, and I want everybody to see what's going on in my office. And I am not going to sit down and counsel with a woman by myself. Several years ago, there was a lady that had come to church for a few weeks, and we was opening the doors of the church, and she wanted to join the church, and she came up, joined the church, and she said that that same night after she had joined the church, she said, Preacher, I need to talk with you about something. I said, okay. She said, how about tomorrow about 4 o'clock? I said, that'll be fine. So she texts me and said, are we still meeting at 4 o'clock? I said, yes, ma'am, me and my wife will meet you at the church. She never showed up. You better nip it in the bud when you can. Amen. So that's an example of temptation. Jesus was tempted. We know that from studying the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 17 or 15 says this, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. Sin comes in the next step, the act. Temptation only becomes sin when you yield upon it and you act upon it. Sin, in other words, sin therefore requires action. Put it in another mathematical situation. Desire plus opportunity plus action equals sin. How many remember Hee-Haw? Y'all remember Hee-Haw? Amen. I tell you how old we are, amen. Y'all remember Doc Campbell? Somebody came in to Dr. Campbell one time, and they said he had broke his arm in two places. Doc said, well, don't go back to them places. That's a good, when you have sin, when you have temptation, don't go back to them places. Amen. Amen? I mean, you know, I said this one time. It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous for an alcoholic or somebody that's got a problem with alcohol to drive by the bar and look over at the bar and lust about being in the bar. Find you another route, glory to God. It's ridiculous. I'll be honest with you. And you ain't got to go down to the beach and walk on the beach to start lusting. I will never forget when I used to teach adult Sunday school at the church I was at, and I would sit on the front seat, kind of maybe right there where Skip's sitting, you know. And when they would dismiss Sunday school class, everybody at our church, they would come to the front of the church and go down a hallway to the classrooms. I would sit there and literally, Brother Tony, hold my head down, because when the ladies walk by, I'm talking about fully dressed. The devil will get in your mind. And it don't take a whole lot for the devil to get in your mind. So if we can resist that, if we can stay away from that, you'll be able to make it. Step 3, the result. Death, the Bible said when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. This is talking about spiritual death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. It's talking about spiritual death, and I believe it can be talking about physical death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says this, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So let's put it in another mathematical equation. Desire plus opportunity plus action plus no forgiveness equals death. So that's the thing. The victory is we can have forgiveness. Jesus said in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what you got to do, you got to change your desires. You got to change your desires. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you can change your desires. How many remember before you got saved, your desires were not what they are now? And I'm going to be honest with you. Before I got saved, when I got saved that night, Grant, the next day, a lot of my desires had changed. I'm going to be honest with you. When I got saved, I quit cussing. Now, a couple of days later, I was on the job, and I hit my hand with a hammer. I know y'all ain't never done that. No, it wasn't a hammer. I hit my hand with a brick trowel. And I said a bad word, Tony. And I stopped right there in front of those coworkers, and I asked God to forgive me. And I'm telling you right now, from that day to this day, it's only happened one other time. And that was about 30 years ago. And what had happened, I got around some other people that I really shouldn't have been around. And they were talking. They were using that kind of, we would call it a slang word. I call it cussing. Amen. You got to be careful. Change your desires. What is it that you desire most? I'm telling you right now, if you'll start putting in God's word, amen, and that'll help change your desires. You'll start spending more time in prayer, amen, that'll help change your desires. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says this, and they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, and if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How can I change my desires? You got to go to the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by Satan, he said, it is written three different times. The devil don't care if you can sing Amazing Grace. The devil don't care he don't care how much you come to church. But when you start quoting scripture to him, you put him on the run. And if you start quoting scripture, folks, I'm telling you right now, God can help you. If you want to quit sinning, limit your desire, limit your opportunities to sin. Now, I don't know about y'all, but, I'm the pastor of the church, amen? I've got an accountability partner. He and I talk just about every day. Preacher, why you got that? Because I don't want to mess up. Amen? You need to find somebody that you can trust. You can't do this with everybody. You need to find somebody that you can trust. Ladies, I'm talking to you too. You need to find somebody you can talk to that ain't going to go back and blab everything you tell them. Somebody say amen right there. If my accountability partner is Skip, and it's not, it's somebody else, and I'm telling Skip all the things that I'm dealing with, and I'm telling Skip, the devil's really fought me this week, brother. The devil, you wouldn't believe what the devil's thrown at me on my job. These one lady, she just keeps coming and keeps coming, and he goes back and tells Charlie. But if he said, if I'm accountable to him, and I know that tomorrow Skip's going to ask me how you been doing, and if I fall, then I got to admit to him.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
You need an accountability partner. You need to limit your opportunities for sin. I'll never forget when I was on the highway patrol. It finally got to the point when they put me working in Myrtle Beach. I said, I ain't going past that waterway. I'm not going past Highway 17 unless I have to go down there and work a wreck. I am not going on that boulevard again. And I didn't. Limit your opportunities. If you got a problem with drugs, don't hang around drug dealers. If you got a problem with alcohol, don't hang around alcoholics. Don't hang around drunks. I mean, this ain't rocket science. It's real simple sometimes. We got to limit the opportunities. Amen? Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Jesus is praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the thing right there. I can have all the desires I want to have for doing good, and I can have all intentions of doing good. The spirit is willing. I know the flesh, and you know the flesh. And we all fall. That's why Paul said that the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that I find myself doing. He said it's not sin in me. It's the flesh. It's the sin. It's the desire. We've got to have some self-control, folks. You got to have some self-control. Ain't it amazing we can control all kind of other things? But we can't control our mind. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, if I ever get my mind under control, I'm going to be a super Christian. And but there ain't no such thing. Because ain't none of us got control of that, amen? But we got to have some self-control. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. How do you get that self-control? You let the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Ghost work in you. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Through the Holy Spirit, we can put the flesh to death. Now, my last thing is this. When you've gone through all this, get forgiveness. Don't sit there and don't give up because you made one mistake. Don't give up because you had a bad thought. Don't give up because you said the wrong thing. Like I said, 1 John 1, 9 said, if we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 says this, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And what that basically is saying, if we sin, there's somebody seated at the right hand of God that you and I can call out on. And he'll go to the Father on Dallas's behalf. He'll go to the Father on Al's behalf. He'll go to the Father on my behalf and say, Father, they're pleading the blood. They're pleading what I did at Calvary. Can't we forgive them? And oh, and you know what God's going to say every time to Jesus? Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let me ask you a question. How many's been struggling? Don't raise your hand. How many's been struggling? I'll be honest with you, if and I hate to say it like this, if you tell me you ain't been struggling, I wonder about you. So closing tonight, I just want us to let's come gather around this altar.